Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, it's Jeremy White
and Joe DiBiase,
and we host Jeremy and Joe, your daily destination for Buffalo sports talk.
All Bills, all Sabres, all the time.
Did you know that Jeremy and Joe is both a radio show and a podcast? You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search for Jeremy and Joe, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
It's Mike Shope.
We were having a very serious conversation about mayonnaise here.
And the Bulldog.
And don't even talk to me about weed.
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
You know, thinking of it again, it's possible that the Dolphins, quote, rivalry uniforms get me off that game. Although, the Bengals and Broncos can get clashy. I don't know what they're wearing.
Yeah.
I don't want to. Broncos are going to be in orange, right? That's what they wear at home. Cincinnati in white, all white probably.
Put the orange on the trim of the pants and the stripes and it's giving me a headache just thinking about what that game's going to look like on my TV.
Dolphins are in all black, right?
Yes, except I think it's supposed to be blue.
Okay, well.
But it's absolutely going to look black on TV. It looks black in all the photos I've seen on social media. But I think it's supposed to be a dark blue, or it is a dark blue, but it just doesn't show up, and not in the way that like the Sabres jerseys before they got to the right blue, like those looked darker than blue on TV. But I think you still objectively would have to say you knew it was blue.
Sure.
These look black, just black. There's no wiggle room. They look black. I mean, we'll see once the game is on and the lights and everything, maybe it'll look different on TV. But every picture I've seen, I read today that they're blue, and I said, what are we doing here? If you want blue, make them blue.
We'll have to see.
Yeah.
I don't know what to expect.
But that's
I might love them.
That's a good point.
I like when the Dolphins are in the retro look. That's my favorite.
Me too. Checkerboard or like the old end zone graphic, right? They are doing, I did read, and I think Arizona did last week too when they wore these on Thursday. The end zones were different. Mm-hmm. The Arizona had that like rising sun thing going that looked great in the end zones.
The state flag?
Yeah. The Dolphins are doing something significant for this game to the field. I wonder what next Sunday night brings. Because the Bills are wearing their rivalry gear, that snow, that white, that freeze thing. I wonder what, how'd I do there, folks?
I would do no better.
Yeah.
I know that there's going to be, I mean, absolutely full-on corporate stiff language out there to describe these uniforms. There always is, and I will never read any of that.
Right.
So we're going to have, on this show, I think the policy we've just determined is you're going to have to settle for freeze things.
Snow freeze thing. Yeah.
I think that's what we're going to give you.
So are they doing, I hope so. Like, what? Is the logo at the midfield going to be different? Are the end zones going to be different? I hope they are. If other teams are doing that, I sure hope that the Bills are in line to do that. I'm curious to see what it looks like.
It's interesting that the game is so early. I mean, we can't get out of the 80s weather-wise. Maybe it'll be different this week. But
right.
I looked when the uniforms came out, like the future look at October 5th or whatever it is, and like 50s is sort of normal
Sunday night. Sunday forecast as of now, I see a high of 75, but I cannot.
75.
I think by game time, we're into the mid-60s.
Still. Not exactly freeze-thing weather.
That is not, right.
Snow freeze-thing weather.
Right.
I mean, how far are we going to take this out there on Sunday? Are there icicles? That could be a cool effect. If you had icicles, like, in the end zone, sort of looking like they're frozen, stuck on the back of the end zone and facing the field of different sizes. What do you think of that idea? Icicle end zones. in 70 degree weather.
Yeah. Well, today looks like we might be done with the 80s after today.
Still.
It's still 74, 65, 69, 72, 74, 75, 70. I mean, we're and sun every one of those days. It's not supposed to rain, according to this advanced forecast I'm looking at, until next Tuesday.
The best description of the last month's weather I heard was when I was at Canisius football on Saturday, and a friend said, it's suddenly San Diego every day here. You know?
Yep.
Pretty perfect. Your thoughts on yesterday are welcome. 803-0550. We've talked about a lot of different things. The defense getting run on, which is now to the tune of second worst in the league by total yards rushing. They are first against the pass, which should be pointed out for this because there is a checks and balances element to it. But still, 31st against the run is not what you want. Bills are also first in the league in rushing as a team on offense, which is not surprising.
Mm-hmm.
If Cook's going to be second in the league to Jonathan Taylor, and Allen's going to be Allen, even in that game yesterday, which was not like a famous Josh Allen rushing day at all.
He put up a pretty...
He had numbers.
Yeah.
And he got in the end zone again.
Right.
So
like, what was it, 47? In the 40s, I think he ran. He had one 27-yard carry I talked about earlier that they really needed a play there. And I mean, they didn't need 27 yards there, but still, it was a nice time for him to break loose.
I want to preface this next point with... these things change all the time. Like, this is not something you really ever know. But going back a while, we had with these guys close game stress. Sure, they can blow out bad teams. But what about close games? We had that one season where they lost some or all of their close games, you know? And like, well, is that sticky? Is that going to be, is that who they are? And I'm sure I said, no, it's not sticky, but it's also... last year, Kansas City won them all. And, like, what do you say to that? What I say to that is eventually that comes around, and it has actually for the Chiefs this year. So, saying all that about this game, one of the first questions I asked you on postgame yesterday was, did you ever think they would lose? And I will tell you, I never thought they would lose. I mean, it's just too much to beat them for anybody.
Yeah.
Let alone the Saints.
They were really sloppy yesterday and still won pretty comfortably. But they were, I said a few times late in the week, last week leading up to this game, I have a real struggle seeing the Bills be sloppy enough for the Saints to actually win the game. They were sloppy enough for the Saints to be in the game, but win it? Like, even if they get ahead of you, Allen doesn't break that 27-yard run on 3rd and 5. And they kick the ball away. And New Orleans goes down. They're down by 2 at that point or 3?
I think 2.
Okay.
21-19.
And they get a field goal and they go up on you. I'm getting the ball back, right? Like, come on. we're going to do the thing. And, you know, you can't always live that way. Tampa, I mentioned earlier how every game they've won this year has been right at the wire, and they had another look at it yesterday and didn't come through. So, like, you're going to run out at some point if you're always playing that game that way. But, yeah, I was very similar sitting in the stands last Thursday at the Miami game. You know, same sort of scenario. I'm punting. It feels like Miami's got everything going their way here. They're about to get the ball back, and boy, they take the lead. But there's gonna be time, and I've got Josh Allen. You know, like I still think I'm okay, even if I fall behind with 2.5 minutes to go. That's a part of it. Like, that's baked into never feeling like you're gonna lose the game.
It's been this way for so long that the game I think of for this is the one against the Vikings, where the Bills do end up losing in overtime. I mean, that game was so wild. And, you know, the Bills are leading. Tell me if I don't remember any of this right. The Bills are leading. It's under a minute. And the Vikings have goal to go. And I remember how I felt about the whole thing. Minnesota is really not going to win. Whatever is going to happen here, they're actually not going to win. And they get stuffed on the goal line stand by the Bills.
Right.
So the Bills start at their 1. Then Allen fumbles in the end zone. Incredible, right? What have I got left in the game? 30 seconds or so? Maybe a little more? I don't know. I've got almost no time left in the game. I've done the goal line stand. All I need to do is not that. And it happens. He fumbles.
41 seconds to go. I'm looking at the game cast now.
So there's Minnesota's touchdown. Shock. They're still not really going to win the game, though, right? They're really not going to win the game. So they kick off. The Bills go click, 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 field goal. What a team.
29-yard field goal, by the way. It's not like it was a 60-yarder.
29-yard field goal.
They, like, cruised in the field goal range with, you know, no barely any time.
And I'm sitting right here looking up at that TV going, see, they're really not going to win the game. Then Minnesota gets a field goal in overtime.
Mm-hmm.
So the Bills get a turn, and it ends with the Patrick Peterson interception. And I sat here and just couldn't believe it. I can't believe they didn't win.
Right.
And they had so many chances to lose, but all of them they pushed off.
Right.
And then here at the end, they actually do lose. And that's, you know, how many games are there like that? That's the AFC Championship last year. But, you know, I was not as confident.
Right, then.
That in Kansas City, because they really couldn't stop them, that they just had to win the game. But the Vikings game, and, you know, a lot of games that they won, like yesterday. Like Miami. Miami went, they threw punches. And there's Miami, despite the roughing the punter. Bills have a streak going of roughing the punter penalties. This time it cost them their punter, apparently. But, you know, touchdown, 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 touchdown. They're trading blows, and it's 3 minutes to go, and Miami's driving down seven. Like, they're really not going to win the game, though. And there's the play. There's Bernard.
Sorry.
What? I really couldn't guess what is funny.
Nothing you said was funny. What happened?
Oh, thank you.
What happened to? Well, you weren't trying. There was nothing funny about what you
said.
That's
why I'm funny. But I'm not trying to be funny.
Yeah. What? At least that's what you think. What happened in my brain just now as I went? I would sacrifice my punter for a win.
Mm.
I mean, that's a tough. Sorry. That's why I chuckled, and now I decided to say it, and I probably should regret
what it. Would the Bills, how many more games would the Bills have won or lost in the last 5 years if they didn't have a punter? The same? Would they actually have a worse record? All those drives with one more Allen play? Even the ones deep in their own end? I mean, their margin of victory is huge on average. I don't know. Maybe they have a better record than they actually do. Maybe they wouldn't. They would not think that they would.
Yeah,
the Bills would not agree with that.
And I am not advocating for not having a punter at all. I guess what I'm saying is, like, if it means a win, I'll get a new punter.
I'm open to it.
Next week.
I'm open to flying blind on punters.
It got hurt.
It would be roundly criticized.
To not have one?
Yes.
Yeah.
This team is so cocky
that
their punter got hurt and they replaced him with an off-ball linebacker. That's how cocky they are. What is the number this week? Like 8?
I saw it earlier. Hang on. I'll get it for you in a second.
Well, let's talk to Sean first while you look. Sean, go ahead.
Evening, gentlemen. Hope you guys are having a good day.
Thanks. You too.
Thanks. I'm not the fly high, fly low. I just came to make a quick point. I haven't heard anybody talk about, is like Ryan Vandermark, like, tackle number two. Is that our swing tackle? Like,
yeah, he's the guy. It wasn't an accident that he was on the field. Yeah, he's the primary backup.
Oh wow. Okay. So my only thing is, congrats. They won. I feel like they play with their food against whoever they're playing. It's fine. They're 4-0. No highs, no lows. Just keep playing. But the Vandermark, that kind of worried me yesterday. I thought
he didn't have a great day. I don't think he had a great day. He got beat a couple times around the edge there. You know, the mishap on the 4th-and-1 call, I can't really blame him for, unless he was told to make sure to clear Osiris Torrance's leg or something, like whatever. That I didn't feel like that was a thing that I would hold against him necessarily. It was innocent enough, but he got beat a couple times. Yeah, I mean, it was noticeable that Brown wasn't there, I would say, on a couple of pass rushes.
I would agree. That's literally my only reason for calling is like, who is, do we know who's the next person on the depth chart behind Vandermark?
You have called the right show, because I happen to have the depth chart open here. It's a rookie, Chase Lunt.
Is there any other show that would even know where to look for that answer?
Is the next. Tackle. They've got four. I think Alec Anderson in a pinch might be able to go out there if you need him to, but their depth chart is Dawkins and Brown, Vandermark, and Chase Lunt.
Is, got it. Thank you.
Thank you, Sean.
Appreciate the call, guys. I hope you guys have a great rest of your
night.
You
too. You too. I had no idea. Is there still AM Buffalo?
I have no idea about that.
So the show AM Buffalo?
Linda Pellegrino and who?
The name I'm thinking of is Brian Cale.
Okay. Going back.
But this is back like when I was a kid.
Okay.
You could call that show.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, it's Jeremy White
and Joe DiBiase,
and we host Jeremy and Joe, your daily destination for Buffalo sports talk.
All Bills, all Sabres, all the time.
Did you know that Jeremy and Joe is both a radio show and a podcast? You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search for Jeremy and Joe, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Yes.
TV show,
yep.
Channel 7. You could call
yep.
AM Buffalo. They would take calls. Like, hey, just the only reason I'm calling is, do you know the name of the third string Bills tackle? The starter was hurt, as you guys know, yesterday. The backup. Who's next? And, I mean, I have no idea. Maybe anybody ever to have hosted that show would know that answer. But, you know, in those days, you couldn't just sort of check your computer.
No, it was not going to be right there at your fingertips. No.
You'd have to really know it.
Right. Yeah, I don't. I need the depth chart. Tylan Grable is another guy that could be an option. He's on IR, but eligible to come off at some point. You might maybe add him to the mix. He's, you know, he's there. So, but the guys on the active roster they had to choose from were those two dudes. And Vandermark played last year against the Chiefs in the regular season, and it went perfectly fine. So I don't know that you got to be very worried about it, but it wasn't great yesterday, I wouldn't say.
You could also call that number, which was not a show, but like they would just have information. You could call information. That's what it was called, information.
Information.
And ask them this question and maybe find out that way. So the baseball playoffs tomorrow. Four games. Red Sox.
I did something I do somewhat frequently grab if there's something that I think I might want to reference, just, you know, if it comes up like right now, I'll grab a screenshot of something. So I don't have to go looking for it. I just got it in my photos in my iPad. And I came across yesterday the logos and like the grid, basically the one seeds and everything. And it just dawned on me, the matchups are all perfect. Reds and Dodgers is like we're little kids, the Reds and Dodgers in the NL West. We're battling, like duking it out.
And it's even more perfect than you're saying, because the winner gets the Phillies, and that's the same era of National League Baseball.
Right.
And the winner of Red Sox-Yankees gets the Blue Jays,
right?
Which is cool.
So the matchups are just great. Padres and Cubs was an NLCS back when Steve Garvey was on the Padres.
84.
So you've got that. And then Guardians-Tigers, I mean, they were duking it out down the stretch here. Guardians just took 2 of 3 from Cleveland or from Detroit to win the division. It wasn't their final series, but still, it helped them do it. It's a tremendous first round. I mean, I went from not knowing what the format was to loving all four matchups.
Cubs win, that's Milwaukee.
Right.
Which is great.
Yeah.
I don't know what San Diego, Milwaukee is. Those teams have literally never played. And in the AL, Detroit, Cleveland gets Seattle.
That's not as tasty. But.
There is Seattle-Cleveland history from the 90s, but yeah, it's great.
Yeah, it is.
If I could line them up, I'd line them up exactly how they're lined up.
It just looks perfect to me looking at it. And again, you might out there listening be going, Reds and Dodgers? But, you know.
Oh, Reds and Dodgers.
Big red machine, I mean, we both know those teams' lineups practically from that era, from the 70s.
Practically, holy cow.
Right. Well, you probably know it. Yeah, you know it exactly.
No pun intended.
I'm a little foggier. But I feel like I know a lot of it.
Are we post-Morgan or are we mid-Morgan?
No, mid-Morgan. Yeah,
so the machine.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I need Morgan there.
Bill Buckner is on that Dodgers team then.
Yeah, okay.
70, four or five.
Yeah.
I'm a little later than you. All right. Well, that's tomorrow. Today, right now, is Eric Wood coming up with his thoughts on yesterday's Bills win. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog Football Monday here on WGR.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, it's Jeremy White and Joe DiBiase.
Did you know that Jeremy and Joe is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can get every episode, every hour, every highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods, and whenever it works for you.